We read the catechism as it's printed there on page, it's going to be page 7. We're going to do the second and third part. What benefits does baptism give?
It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and hell, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare.
Which are these words and promises of God?
Christ our Lord says,
how can water do such great things?
Certainly not just water, but the Word of God and the living water does these things, along with the faith which trusts the Word of God and the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, the life-giving water, rich in grace,
up in Michigan, I understand why my idea of Christmas is linked with snow, but I can't see why it's that way for people in the South. I've had 25 Christmases in the South, and I've yet to see snow on Christmas Eve or day. Yet Christmas is always linked with snow, a form of water. There's something about water. A college textbook entitled The Western Experience says, both Near Eastern and Greek mythology seems to imagine water as the first principle of all things. Thales, the first Greek philosopher, sought for a substance that persisted through all changes. He said it was water. There's something about water. For those born again by water and the Word, water is even more special. Church Father Tertullian says, we are born in water, nor otherwise are we safe than by remaining in it. And Church Father Cyprian says, as often as water by itself is mentioned in Holy Scripture, baptism is proclaimed. I say, as often as you hear of Christmas snow, Frosty the Snowman, or even one foggy Christmas Eve, you can think of your baptism. When you hear water, you should think of baptism because it's a miracle that this water can do such great things. What great things? Well, one, it works forgiveness of sins. Really? The spot Lady Macbeth could not get out is removed by baptism? That's what Peter says in Acts chapter 2. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Paul says in Acts 22. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Baptism doesn't just work the miracle of forgiveness. It also rescues from death and the devil. You should see both death and the devil capitalized. They're concrete enemies. Death crouches by your bedside ready to swallow you. But the waters of baptism have joined you to Jesus more tightly than superglue bonds anything. Paul says in Romans 6 that baptismal water unites you to Jesus, so that you went into the grave with him on Good Friday and you came out with him on Easter Sunday. As far as the devil, you and I are no match for him, but baptismal water is. It's not true that the waters of baptism are like acid on the devil's skin. But it is true, as Galatians 3 says, as many as you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember how the demons cowered before Christ? Remember how with just one word Christ sent the devil away? On the night he was betrayed, Jesus said that the devil was coming. but he had nothing in me. He has nothing in those covered with the waters of baptism either. But baptism does more than work forgiveness and rescue from death and the devil. It gives eternal salvation. Not only do baptismal waters remove the spot Lady Macbeth saw staining her, it stops that spot from damning her. Isn't that what 1 Peter says? Baptism does also now save you. If Jesus says that no one can enter heaven unless they're born of water and the Spirit, then those baptized into the water, which gives the Holy Spirit, they do enter heaven. Okay, the waters of baptism work great things. The scriptures themselves say this. But how can this water do them? Titus 3, 5-8, that's the passage we use in baptism 3, answers this. St. Paul calls baptism the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Watch the Cocoon movies. What those old people found in swimming pool waters hit by a meteor, Paul says you really have in baptismal water. Oh, you may not look physically reborn or renewed as in the Cocoon movies, but God says in baptismal waters you really are. The fountain of youth that Ponce de Leon searched in vain for and died without, you have in the font of baptism, with this difference. Those reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit aren't given back their youth, but eternity. But I still haven't told you how baptism is a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. I've only showed you that Paul says in Titus 3 what he, Peter, and Jesus say elsewhere. The how is there in Titus 3. Paul says that baptism does such great things through the Holy Spirit that God poured out on us who have been justified by Christ our Savior. God can pour out on us water that rebirths and renews us by the Spirit because we've been justified by Jesus' grace to become heirs of eternal life. Almost all religions have some sort of baptism, but they don't work forgiveness, rescue from death and the devil, or give eternal salvation because they aren't attached to the person and work of Jesus. Jesus, true God and true man, is the only one who ever deserved salvation. Think of all that you do wrong every day. Think of all the ways that you fall short, not only of God's glory, but of human decency. Jesus never fell short either of God or man. But that wasn't enough for Jesus. He saw us, his brothers and sisters, mired in sin, at the mercy of death and the devil, and damned to hell. He, like a soldier that has gotten safely across a combat zone, turned back to get us. He, like a father who swims out of the raging flood, dived back in to get us, his children. To save us, our sins had to be paid for. Our death had to be died. The devil had to be defeated. And the hell we earned had to be suffered. Jesus did all this by being a man of griefs and sorrows. Jesus did this by suffering the death we fear at the hands of the devil. Jesus' perfect life and innocent death won God's grace for us. Jesus' holy life covered our unholy ones, and his sinless death satisfied the demands of the law. Jesus won for us forgiveness, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. The waters of baptism apply all that Jesus won for us. The waters of baptism do such great things because they are the means, they are the channel, they are the path, they are the way that God's grace for Jesus' sake is applied to us. Now, where would we be if this water didn't do these things? Baptism then would be just a symbol, just a sign, not a power. It would not be something that actually works, rescues, or gives anything. If baptism doesn't work forgiveness of sins, what in your life does that? If the waters of baptism don't rescue you from death and the devil, what does? If this water doesn't give you eternal salvation, where are you going to get it? If baptism doesn't work, rescue, or give anything, then stop bringing your babies to be baptized. But if the waters of baptism don't give your infant forgiveness, how will he or she get it? If baptismal waters aren't able to rescue your babies from death and the devil, do you have the strength to wrest them away from these evil creatures? If this water can't give eternal salvation to our babies, do you know another thing God Himself has called a washing of rebirth and a renewal by the Holy Spirit? And what about you? Where's your certainty of forgiveness? Where's your certainty of being rescued from death and the devil? Where's your certainty of salvation apart from these waters of baptism? You better know the answer to this one. For when your sin and sinfulness are heavy, when death and the devil are on the march, when your next step is into eternity, the question, how do you know you're forgiven? How do you know you're rescued? How do you know you're saved? Will be howling in your ears. Answering, I'm a member of the church, will only cause you to remember that you're really not that much of one. Saying, I've accepted Jesus into my heart, will only cause you to wonder if you were serious when you did that, or if Jesus ever accepted you. And even the Lutheran answer, I know I'm forgiven, rescued, and saved because I believe, that's going to be shipwrecked on the small question of, do you really? My faith is no more certain than my works. Baptism, however, is not my work or the work of any man. Baptism is the work of God. Just as no one can give birth to himself, just as no one can give birth to a human child but a human being, so no one can give birth to a child of God but God Himself. Furthermore, just as a teen is being quite foolish and doesn't undo his birth, when he angrily declares, you're not my mother, so neither sin, death, devil, nor hell can undo your rebirth in the waters of baptism. But you're about to shipwreck this certainty by misunderstanding our own catechism and focusing on faith. Yes, you say, we confess that baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation. Don't we also say, to all who believe this? And doesn't Christ our Lord say, whoever believes and is baptized? And yes, we confess the Word of God in and with the water does these things. But don't we also say, along with the faith, which trusts this Word of God in the water? And Paul closes by saying, this is a trustworthy saying. Isn't that another way to say, this is to be believed? Do you think all the weight, all the power, all the miracle of this water depends on your faith, your believing? Well, if you do, then why be baptized? Just focus on the faith going on in your heart. But surely you know what happens when you do that. Focus on anything going on inside of you, happiness, peace, hope, love, confidence, etc. And what happens? It makes wings. It withers. All the weight, all the power, all the miracle of this being a water that does such great things is placed in our catechism where Scripture itself places it, on the words and promises of God. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. These words declare that all the forgiveness, all the rescue, all the salvation that Jesus won for sinners is in baptismal water, and it's yours for the believing. No works, no promises to do better, nothing needed to receive it. Faith receives it all. As our large catechism says, faith does not make baptism, but receives it. When you take a Christmas gift, does your receiving it make the gift? Does your receiving the gift cause it to be there? If you refuse the gift, if you say you won't open it, is the gift still there? Is it still valid? Is it still real? Do any of us think that Christmas gifts are only as sure as we believe, or that our belief makes them real? Of course not. If the gifts of men don't depend on our faith, let us not think the gifts of God in the waters of baptism, forgiveness, rescue, and salvation, let us not think these great miraculous gifts depend, rely, or even rest
and our fragile believing. So, let us not focus on our believing this Christmas. Rather, let us focus on Christmas snow. Let us see in every snowy Christmas special, every snowy card, every song, every decoration about snow, let us see a reminder of our baptism. Water in the solid form of snow evokes powerful memories of Christmas's past. May it also remind us of the present power of baptismal water to forgive, to rescue, and to give. Amen.